We begin the current Dav Masechet Kedushin, Dav Samach Dal. Begin on the second line of the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the father's nemanis, his belief that Kiddash this biti, that I engaged my daughter, as we'll see in the Gemara, the source for this halacha, but a father's belief to say, which he has the ability and the rights to engage his daughter to a man, if she's a Naira or younger, a minor, then he's believed regarding what he's saying. So the Mishnah tells us, Kiddash this biti, if a father says that I engaged my daughter, or he says, Kiddashtiya v'girashtiha, I had engaged her to someone, and then I received her divorce, her get, from that man that I engaged her to. And he says, Kishi ketano, when she's a minor, meaning I did this to her when she was a minor. Moreover, says the Mishnah, when he's saying this, Varehi ketano, she's currently a minor. When he's saying this, so then Neman, he's believed to make her invalid from Kohuna, because once a woman is a Grusha, she's married to someone else, obviously, but even if she's divorced, she's not married anymore, but a Grusha is forbidden to a Kayin, he's believed now to invalidate her for marrying a Kayin. Now, then the Mishnah says, the second case, but let's say he says, Kiddashtiya v'gerashtiya kishikitana. He says the same thing. He says, I engaged her and then received her divorce from the man that I engaged her to when she was a minor. But v'arehi gedoyla, meaning he only said this when she was already an adult, and he never made such a claim when she was a minor. It says the Mishnah, Einoi Neman. So that there he's not believed, and she's actually going to be permitted to marry a Kain. The third case the Mishnah says is Nishbis, if he claims that his daughter was taken in captivity. Now, becoming a captive woman invalidates a woman from Kahuna, because there's a doubt if she was a Zayna, if they had done inappropriate things with her, which makes her forbidden as a Zayna to a Kayin. So he claims his daughter was taken in captivity. Uf disi, and he says, and I ransomed her, I redeemed her. Says the Mishnah, Bein shigetana, Bein shigedayla, even if she's currently a minor or an adult, Einoi Neman, he's not believed, and therefore she will be permitted to a Kayin, and the Gemara will explain the reason for this halacha. So the Gemara opens up asking this general question. What's the difference between the Reisha, meaning the first halacha of the Mishnah, which we said that the father has nemanis, he's believed, and the Sefer, meaning the last two cases of the Mishnah, which we said that he's not believed. What's the difference? Is the father believed regarding his daughter to make her forbidden to a Kayin, or is he not believed? So that the Gemara says, Reisha, regarding the first case of the Mishnah, when he was making this claim when she was still a minor, then it's still in his ability, it's in his hand, to engage her now to somebody else, and then to go ahead and receive a get from that person. Now that's why he's believed, because that's what's called the halachic principle of Malui L'Shaker. Why should he lie? If he wants to, he could do it right now. Of course, believe me, I can go ahead and engage her right now, because she's still a minor, and then get her divorced, and she'll be forbidden to a Kayin. So that's why in the Reisha he's believed, Seif Allah B'yadeh. But regarding the last two cases of the Mishnah, he's not believed. A, he's not believed now that she's an adult to get her to say that she was engaged, because he cannot go ahead and engage her now that she's an adult. He only has the rights from his daughter when she's a minor. And moreover, he doesn't have the ability ever to give her over as a captive to non-Jews, whether she's an adult or a minor. So since by the last two cases it's not biyadai, so that's why he's not believed. But in the Reisha, since it's biyadai, he has the wherewithal anyway, so why shouldn't you believe him? He could do it if he wants to do it, and therefore he's believed. That's the Gemara's differentiation. Now that the Gemara is biyadai, is that really so that he's not believed regarding the last case in the Mishnah, let's say by the case when he says she was taken in captivity? So he's not believed to make her like a Zayna, a woman that's forbidden to Kahuna? But Vare Biyadai, it is in his wherewithal, at least when she's a minor, regarding the last case we said he's not believed that she was taken in captivity, whether she's an adult or even a minor. That the Gemara is asking, that seemingly it is Biyadai. Not exactly the way he said it, to make her a captive woman, but another way, and therefore Malo L'Shaka, why shouldn't you believe him? Because he's believing she's a minor La'asi L'Chal, he has the ability then to marry her off to a Chal. A Chal is a Kayin who was born from his mother that was a widow married to a Kayin Gadol, which Gemara tells us later on, Daf Ayin Dalam Beis, that an Amayni, a Mayavi, a Kuti, a Nosin, and a Chalol, and a Mamzer, a Mitzri, and a Daimi, who if they have relations with a Kehanis, Labia, or Yisraelis, they make her apostle to Kuhuna. So the question is, why is he not believed when he says that she was taken in captivity and she's still a minor when he's making this claim? He could make her apostle to Kuhuna, albeit not through captivity, but by marrying her off to Chol, the Kapostle Kuhuna, who invalidates him from Kuhuna. So since it's Biyadai, so he should say the same thing like the first case in the Mishnah that he should be believed. That says the Gemara, Holei Kasha. It's not a difficulty, because Kedreb Distoi Ben Yehuda, the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Reb Distoi ben Yehuda, The Amma that he says is the Gemara brings us later on, of Ein Zayin Amar Aleph. But Nois Yisrael, Jewish women, are mikveh tahara l'chalalan, are purifying mikveh for chalalan. In other words, he holds that the daughter of a male chalal is kosher for kahuna. Now, which the reason is because his wife, who is a regular kosher Yisraelis, purifies his children and his child does not become a chalal. Now, since his daughter will be kosher, again, because we're going like Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, so therefore his widow is also going to be kosher for kahuna. Now, the reason being is because, as this halacha is brought later on, the Ayin Hei Med Aleph, whenever you say a person's daughter is kosher, you're allowed to marry his almana. Now, therefore, it's not within the father's ability to invalidate his daughter, even a minor from kuhuna, because even though he can marry to a chalal, but it doesn't make a difference, because since that his daughter married to a chalal, their daughter would be kosher, so she herself is also going to be kosher for kuhuna, and therefore it's not going to be an invalidating factor. Now, Rashi points out a seemingly clearing question is, but it is biyadi of the father to invalidate his daughter from kuhuna if she's a minor. It's very simply, by getting her engaged and getting her divorced from another man, any man, she'll be a grushel, she'll be apostle to kuhuna. So that Rashi says, that would only invalidate her from kuhuna, but it would not invalidate her from truma if she's a bas kayin, and she gets widowed without any children. But when you take it in captivity, which is the claim of the third case of our Mishnah, that's a claim that would invalidate her even from Truma. That's not Biyadi the father to invalidate her, because as the Gemara's question was asking from the case of Chalalan, the town of Amishnah is going like Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, who again he holds that there is no psul of Kuhuna by marrying a Chal. So the Gemara continues asking, but Vahari Biyadi la'asi la'mamzer, but the father has it within his wherewithal to marry off to a mamzer, which the Gemara tells us later on the Samechazim and Aleph, that Kedushin is Taifis in Chiv Alavin, where although it's a negative prohibition to marry this person, Kedushin will take effect. And therefore, although that there is a negative prohibition to marry mamzer, but that Kedushin would happen, and therefore the father could marry his daughter in sin to a mamzer, which that would invalidate her from partaking of Truma. So therefore, why isn't he believed to say when she was taken to captivity? That the Gemara answered that question too. Kribe Kiva, the town of Amishnah is like Kribe Kiva, the Amma that he says, in Kedushin Taifs, Mechiyuv Alavin. Rebbe Kiva's opinion is, the Kedushin does not take effect, even if it's not, as other opinions hold, Chiyuv Karas, or Chiyuv Misbezin, it's even if it's just his negative prohibition, and therefore it's not within the father's ability to marry off to Mamzer, it's only for someone that Kedushin is Taifas. Now this opinion of Rebbe Kiva is brought there later on, that's Sugya too. So therefore again, for the case of the Sefer, the Gemara has answered, the father has no wherewithal to make her apostle for kahuna, for truma, because chalal is not going to make her apostle. And mamzer, he doesn't have the rights to, because its kedushin is not going to take effect anyway. So the Gemara continues asking, but harebi yadli lasi alman l'kayin gadol, even if he's saying like Rebbe Kiva, if his daughter is a widow, he has the wherewithal to marry her off to a kayin gadol, even according to Rebbe Kiva, because although it's a negative prohibition for kayin gadol to marry a widow, Rebbe Kiva agrees that in that case, Kedushin would be typhus, and if Kedushin would be typhus, then that marriage would make her into someone that's possible to kuna, and you see that the father therefore could make her possible to truma. Because as the Gemara tells us, like Reb Simai explained the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, the time that like learned the Bryce, Reb Simai, he says, min ha-koil, from every relationship which is a negative prohibition, Oyser Rebbe Kiva made that the child from that union is going to be a mamzer. And the reason being is because Rebbe Kiva holds, Kedushin is not Teifas B'chiyiv Alav. In other words, a mamzer, illegitimate child, is from a union that there's no halachic Kedushin. So there are opinions that hold that's only by Chiyiv Akris, Chiyiv Misbez, and Rebbe Kiva holds, and it's even going to be Chiyiv Alav, because he holds Kedushin is not Teifas, even by a negative prohibition. Now, but said Reb Simai, Chutz Me'aman L'Kayin Gadol. But there is one exception, although it's a negative prohibition, the child will not be a mamzer, which is, and therefore we see that Kedushin is Teifas, by the case of a widow marrying to the high priest. Because Shari Amr Torah, the Torah tells you, lo yikach, that a kohen gadol should not take a widow. Now, near there it says, v'lo yichal, he should not desecrate zari ba'am of his children amongst his people. Which sounds like, chalulim aisa, that is, if a kohen gadol marries an amana, he's going to make his children only chalulim from kahuna, which is going to desecrate them from the higher status of kahana. But v'ein aisa mamzeim, it doesn't make them even mamzeim regarding the rest of the Jewish people. Now, so therefore, the Gemara's question is, since we see that Reb Simoi explained Reb Kiva's opinion that regarding Amon L'Kohen Gadol, the child does not become a mamzer, so obviously he holds Kedushin is going to be Taifas by negative prohibitions regarding Kuhuna. Because if Kedushin was not Taifis, then the child would be a Mamzer. As we learned in the Mishnah later on, Dav Samach Vav Mabez, that tells us, whenever there's no Kedushin in this marriage, the child's going to be a Mamzer. So in the fact that he doesn't have Mamzer, obviously Kedushin is Taifis. So the father could marry off his daughter that's a widow to a Kohen Gadol, which that's a relationship that's going to make her possible for Kohuna and Truma, and therefore, so why isn't he believed when he says she was Nishbis Upitiasiyah, which is making her possible from Truma? Oh, it is Biyadoi to do that, albeit in a different type of a way. So the Gemara, Kareb Yisheva, our Mishnah is not only like Rabbi Akiva, it's like Rabbi Akiva's version that Rabbi Yisheva explains. With the Amma that he said, Boyu v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef. It says, let us shout on what Akiva ben Yosef is doing, meaning reference to Rabbi Akiva, who he's increasing people that are apostle, that are invalid, to come into the Jewish people. Why? Shahayayim, because he was saying, Kol she'en lo biya b'Yisrael, anytime there's a Jewish man that the biya that he's having with his wife is not permitted for him to have relations with her, even not achiva krisis, achiva mizbezen, anytime it's forbidden for them to have relations, have such a relationship, havla, the child that's born from that biya, is going to be a mamzer. So you see that this is including regarding any relationship, so even it's going to be not like the way that Rabbi Simoi had said it, Rabbi Sheva was saying it, even by Amon L'Kohen Gadol, is a forbidden relationship, and therefore the child's going to be a mamzer, and therefore according to him, Kedusha is not going to be Taifas. So the father can't. It's not biyadi to marry her off, even as Amon L'Kohen Gadol. But the Gemara asked on that. Hanichel Rabbi Shevav. This is very well the way you're answering for our Mishnah, that it's like Rabbi Shevav. Ili taime din navshe. If he was saying his own opinion, in other words, he wasn't addressing what Rabbi Simoi had said, and that he was only disputing him regarding the negative prohibitions of Kahuna. Rather, he was saying a general statement on his own. He was saying that Rabbi Akiva holds any bia, any cohabitation that's in sin, the child's going to be a mamzer. So then, shaper. So then you're right. Then you could explain our Mishnah that there is no kedushin in sin that would be a kedushin, and therefore it's never within the father's wherewithal to marry off his daughter to someone that's going to be mechalal her in the bia to then make her forbidden for truma. And that's why he's not believed by the case of Nishbis. But as the Gemara, el ila fuke mitaimad Rebbe Simoi kasi, which is that's a discussion when Rebbe Sheva said his statement. Was he saying his own independent statement, or was he addressing Rebbe Simoi's statement, which is a suffix the Gemara has in other places? So then the Gemara says, but if you're saying like the other tzad in that suffix, that he was addressing Rebbe Simoi, and all he was coming to do was coming to add on, which is we know Rebbe Kiva holds by Chiv Alavim, by negative prohibitions, the child's going to be a mamzer, but Rebbe Simoi said that the exception is Amon L'Kohen Gadol, and that was what Rebbe Sheva was coming to address and say that no, even by negative prohibitions of Kahuna, the Halacha is Rebbe Kiva would agree the child's going to be a mamzer, and Kedusha would not be Taifas, so he was only addressing Rebbe Simoi. But regarding marrying an Egyptian or an Edomite within the first three generations that they converted to Judaism, which is a positive commandment forbidding it, there it would sound like that even Rabbi Sheva would agree in Rabbi Kiva's opinion that Kedushin would be Typhus, and therefore the child would not be a Mamzer. So then we still have a question. So the father still has it within his wherewithal to marry off his daughter to someone that is a positive commandment not to marry them, meaning a Mitzri and a Demi. And then, through that marriage, she will become a Chalala from partaking of Truma and Kuhuna, as Gemara tells us later on, Daf Ayin Dalam Adbeis, from all these people that are forbidden for her to have relations, even if it's a Chiv Asay, that's going to make her into Chalala. So therefore, we do have a case, essentially, even according to Reb Simoi, even according to Reb Shevav, if it's like that version, which we're not sure, and if it would be like the other one, seemingly would be clarifying that, according to that version, you still have a question. Why, in the last case of the Mishnah, do we say, by Nishbis, he's not believed, because not B'yadoi, it is B'yadoi, how's it B'yadoi? He can marry her off to an Mitzri and a Daimi, which condition would be Taifas, even according to Rabbi Kiva, even according to Rabbi Yeshevav, and therefore, if it is B'yadoi, then it should be like the Reisha of the Mishnah, which we said the reason why he's believed to make her Pasul Tikuna is because she's still a minor, and it's B'yadoi L'kacha, so then you should say the same thing in the last case of the Mishnah. Moreover, Amar Rav Ashi says, he's adding fuel to the fire of the questioning. The Tisbra, do you even really think that the answer we gave originally is a valid answer? Which, that we said that Reisha, we said the reason why in the first case of the Mishnah, that the father is believed to make her pasul from Kahuna, is Mishum de Biyadayhu, because he could still do it. Since he could still marry her off and have her divorced, so therefore he could invalidate her from Kahuna. So even if he's not doing it right now, you should believe him that he said that he did. But on that, the Gemara asks, Nehid biyad lekadsha, you're right. Although it's within his ability to receive kedushin from a man that's coming to engage his daughter, biyad lekadsha, you think it's in the father's wherewithal to create a divorce for his daughter? He's not the one that does the divorce. It's the husband. And therefore, it's not biyad lekadsha. V'oid, moreover, the Gemara adds even more. Ilo amrahai, this man, who the father, who you said it's biyad lekadsha, it's within his ability to engage her. So that man that he wants to that wants to engage his daughter, if he would say duleinichi begava, that he doesn't want to engage her, mi motzi mekadosh nehalei bal korchi, could he even go ahead and force that guy to engage his daughter? No. So the Gemara is saying, even the reisha doesn't make sense. You said it's biyada, it's not biyada legarsha. And then the Gemara says, you know what? It's not even biyada lekadsha, because although he could receive the kedushin, but he can't go ahead and force a man to be mekadosh his daughter. So what are you saying? Why even the reisha is he believed? Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi says a different interpretation to understand the discrepancy in our Mishnah between the first case and the last two cases. Reisha Rachmana Hemne, nothing to do with the Svara of because it's Biyadoi. Regarding the first halacha of our Mishnah, the Torah believes him. It's Exer Sakas of Karafuna. Dam Ravuna Marav, he says, Menayin La'av Shenem and Lesser is Bitim in the Torah. Where do we find in the Torah source that a father is believed to make his daughter forbidden to other men by claiming that she's engaged already to someone else? Shenema, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, the pasuk says the father claims, which comes up in the parasha of Mitzi Shemra, but we see from the words that he says what he's believed to say. He says, "As biti nisati leishaze," he says, "My daughter I gave to this man." So the way the Gemara explains it is when he says leish, when he says that I engaged my daughter to a man, she then suddenly becomes forbidden. Asra, she becomes forbidden to everybody because we don't know to who she's engaged. So we see from the Torah that he's believed. Now, but then when he says hazeh, because he says, I give my daughter to le'ish a man hazeh this, then he tira. Then he permitted her to this man. So what you see from this pasuk, says the Gemara, is b'nisuin hemne rachman la'av. It's only regarding marriage that the father is believed if she's a naira or below that, a minor. But regarding a begeris, the father, the pasuk's not talking about, because actually what the pasuk there is talking about, it says the word naira in that pasuk. So therefore, that explains, first of all, the first halacha of the Mishnah. First halacha of the Mishnah, we see the father believed from the pasuk. But that's only when she's a minor. But that takes us to the second halacha of the Mishnah. When she's an adult, he's not believed. Because it's only when he says, when she's a naira, as the pasuk there is talking about, then is when he's believed. So regarding the middle case, when she's already an adult, he's not believed. Moreover, says the Gemara, b'shvuyo lo hemne. We never find anywhere in the Torah that the father's believed to say that she was taken in captivity and thus forbidden to kohuna, which explains halacha the seifa. Not do it biyadai, it's just that's not what the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us he's believed to say, I gave my daughter to this man, which is regards to halachas of kedushin, which, yeah, if that's going to make her not forbidden to kohuna, fine, so be it. But it's only A, regarding nisuin, kedushin, and it's only regarding when she's a minor. So therefore, the second two halachas of the Mishnah, when it's regarding shvuya, or regarding when she's adult, then he's not going to be believed. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the father's, regarding a man's trustworthiness, his belief, regarding areas of marriage. So the Mishnah says, Misha ama b'shas misasai. Somebody says at the time of his death, he says, yesh li banim. He says, I have sons. Now the significance of that is that therefore, although we don't know that he has sons, but the fact that he says he does, his wife is not going to have to relate in the halachas of Yib Mechalitza. Because it's only if he dies without any children. If he says, I have children, so then he's basically saying she doesn't have to have Yib Mechalitza. Says the Mishnah Neman, he's believed. If he says, yesh li achim, if let's say when he's dying he says that I have brothers, which let's say we didn't know that he has brothers, then should be exempt from Yibam, because there's no one to do Yibam to. Now that he's saying that he has brothers, which thus makes her zakuk for Yibam, which up until now we thought she didn't have to, says the Mishnah, Eino Neman. There, he's not believed. So the Gemara opens up by saying, Alma, we see, Neman Lahater. We see that the husband who's dying is believed to permit her not to have to do Yibam, because if he says that he has children, we said he's believed and thus she's exempt from Yibam. But Ve'ein Neman Lesser, but he's not believed to make her forbidden to have to go through the halachas of Yibam, and that's why he's not believed. When he says he has brothers, we say we don't believe him, and she's permitted. So we see that he's only believed to permit her, but not to forbid her. So that the Gemara says, Nebim Masnitin Lekrib Nasan. Let's say our Mishnah is not Lekrib Nasan. Because the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Brisa says, Bishas Kedushin Amar Yesh Leibanim. The way the Brisa sets up the case is that when he was getting engaged, he told the woman that he was engaging that he has sons. Now, the reason why he was saying this is because she shouldn't be worried that if he dies without any children, she'll have to have Yibam from his brother, and therefore should be willing to go ahead and get married to him. Now, but Rashi points out, it must be talking about, obviously, that when they engaged her, he didn't say almanas on the condition. Because if he said on the condition, then we'll see regarding the end of the case, that would obviously create problems retroactively that she was never even engaged. But he just said, that's just what he said. He just was telling her that I have sons. Now, b'shas misa amar ein libanu. But when he was dying, he said, I want to tell you the truth, I don't really have sons. Which that's going to make her mechuyev in chalitza. Or let's say b'shas kedushin amar ein loy achim. Let's say when he was getting engaged, he says he doesn't have brothers. Which again, it's that she shouldn't have to be concerned regarding Yibam, because if there's no brothers, there's no requirement of Yibam. But b'shas misa amar yesh loy achim. But when he was dying, he says, I just want you to know I really have a brother. And although I don't have any children, I have brothers. Which that's going to mean that she's going to have Yibam chalitza. Says the Braisa, Nemon Lahater, he's believed to make her permitted that she doesn't have to go through Yibam Chalitza, but Ve'ein Nemon Lasser, he's not believed to make her forbidden. In other words, what this opinion is saying, that he's believed what he said when he got engaged to her, which means that she doesn't have to go through Yibam Chalitza, and he's not believed what he's saying at the time of his death, that she really is Mechuyiv and she's obligated in Yibam Chalitza. That's Divrei Rabbi, which sounds like the Halacha of our Mishnah, that he's Nemon Lahater, but he's not Nemon Lasser. Reb Nosson Aymer, he says, Af Nemon Lasser. No, he's also believed to make her forbidden. In other words, what he's saying at the time that he's dying, that he has brothers or that he doesn't have any sons, he says that he is going to believe and she's going to be forbidden. So seemingly, the halacha of a Mishnah is not like that, because we see from a Mishnah that it's only Nemon Lahater, not Nemon Lasser. So then Amar Rav, he says, no. You could say the Tana of a Mishnah is even like Reb Nosson. Shani Hasim, the case of the Bryce is different. Kiven the Bishas Misa Kahadur Bey, since at the time of death. He's retracting what he had originally said when he got engaged. Emo kushtakamer. There I would say that he's saying the truth. Why? Because he doesn't want, when he's going to his deathbed, when he's dying, that the sin of what he had caused when he got engaged. He wanted to convince this woman to marry him. So he said something which was not true. Now that he's dying, he doesn't want to go to his deathbed with that guilt. So therefore he's going to say the truth. I really have brothers, or I really don't have children. Now, in contrast to the halacha of the Mishnah, where he didn't say anything when he got engaged that he doesn't have brothers, so therefore now when he says that he has brothers, then we'll say that he's not believed because he just wants to annoy her at the time that he's dying. But it's no regret over here. He never said anything. No one ever asked him, and that he's coming to repent. So therefore, that's the difference. In the case of the Mishnah, he's not going to be Nemon Lesser, but in the case of the Braisa, that Reb Nosson would hold that he is Nemon Lesser only because he wants to repent from the lie that he said when he got engaged. Now, on that interpretation of Rav, Amalei Abaye asks, what do you mean? For love called the Kenu? To the contrary, how can you say that the Tana of Mishnah would be Reb Nosson? Isn't it a Kalshiken? Wouldn't it be for sure? In other words, Hashto Mahasim, if we find the case of the Braisa, the Kamarle Lidibure, where he's actually, that he's contradicting something that he said at the time that he got engaged. So you would already start questioning, maybe he's not telling the truth, because we know that he got engaged, he didn't say that. And still, Amrit Kushtakamer, still Reb Nosson says that he's telling the truth, and he'll be believed to make her forbidden. So Masnitin de la Kamar Leili Diburi, so the case of the Mishnah where he's not contradicting anything he ever said before. Loi Kalshiken, isn't it a Kalshiken? Or isn't it all the more so that he should be believed to make her forbidden if you held like Reb Nosson? And therefore, seemingly according to Rav's interpretation, we should not say the Mishnah is like Reb Nosson. And to the contrary, he would hold for sure in the case of the Mishnah that she would be forbidden based on what he's saying when he's dying. So Elam Abai, rather Abai gives a different interpretation how to say that the Tana of a Mishnah is even like Reb Nosson. Says Masnitin, the case of the Mishnah is talking about a specific case, and the Brice is talking about a different type of a case. And therefore, you could say that the two do not contradict each other, and that's where Reb Nosson could be the Tana of a Mishnah. He explains that our Mishnah is talking about the loy muchzik lon, that we had never had an assumption, we never had established that regarding this person at the time that he's dying, neither that ba'achi, we didn't know that he has brothers, but loy muchzik lon b'bani, and we didn't know that he has any sons. Now, therefore, based on that assumptions, this woman was in what's called a chazaka, a presumptive state, that she doesn't have to go through Yibam, because although he doesn't have any sons, but he doesn't have any brothers. Now, therefore, Damrina, where we say, so since we don't have a chazaka, in other words, we don't have any presumption that he has any sons or he has any brothers, so if it works well with a chazaka, and this is what the difference is that Abai is going to paint regarding the case of the Mishnah and the Braisa, so if Amma Yeshli Banim, if he says, I have children, now that it goes well. It doesn't contradict the original chazaka. The original chazaka was, okay, we didn't think he has sons, but it didn't make a difference because we thought he doesn't have any brothers. And therefore, when he says that he has sons, so that will go well with the chazaka, which he's still going to be exempt from Yibum because you were exempt because we thought you don't have brothers. Now, therefore, Neman, in such a case, he's going to be believed. Now, as Rashi actually highlights the chiddush of this, which is, yeah, of course he's going to be believed. In other words, we already knew that she's going to be exempt from Yibum because there's no brothers. So the fact that he says that he has sons, that's not really changing anything. The change is that even if later on a brother comes and he says, I am a brother, it doesn't make a difference. We're not going to believe him because the words of the husband at the time that he died was supporting the chazaka. Because at that time the chazaka was she's exempt from Yibum because we thought that there's no brothers. So although we thought there's no sons, when he says that no, there are sons, okay, that works well with the same chazaka that she's exempt from Yibum based on the fact that there's no brother. So even though if later on a brother comes and says he's a brother, which so we knew that we thought there was no sons, and now that there's a brother would make her obligated in Yibum Chalitza, we say that no, because his words were believed based on the fact that it was working with the chazaka at that time, which was that we thought that there was no brothers. So he's believed, and therefore even if there's brothers now, we'll believe him that he said that there are sons. Now, but if he says, Yeshli Achim of, let's say he says that I have brothers, and we know that there's no sons in Enem, and then he's not going to be believed, because Lav Kol Kamine de Osla Kula Alma. He's not believed to make her forbidden to everyone else. Now, the reason being is because that would be excluding from the Chazaka, which was up until now, she has what's called a Cheskes Heter. She had a presumptive state that she's going to be permitted, because we thought there's no sons, no brothers. If there's no brothers, so she's permitted. Now, but if you're going to say that there are brothers, and again, we assume that there's no sons, you're making her forbidden. You're contradicting the chazaka that you're not believed to do. But, says Abaya, Braisa, the halacha of the Braisa, where Reb Nosson said that he is believed to make her forbidden, that's because we're talking about a different type of a case as we continue on Talmud Beis. The muchzik lom ba'achi, v'loy muchzik lom ba'boni. It's talking about a case where we had a chazaka, a presumption, that there were brothers, and that there was no assumption that there was any sons. Now, as Rashi points out, not that there were witnesses that there were brothers. It's just a chazaka. We heard before they got engaged that he had brothers. Now, Damrina, that we say, when he says during the time of Kedushin that I have sons, or that he says that I don't have brothers, if he wouldn't retract at the time that he died, we would have believed him. Why would we have believed him? And this is introducing what is the machlokes Reb Nosson and Rebbe in the case of the Braisa, which again doesn't contradict the halacha of the Mishnah, because it's basing on what is the chazaka that his words are coming to contradict. Do we believe him in the face of that chazaka or not? So what was this that originally at the time of Kedushin that he was saying? That is we say that Daminan Mali Lishakar. In other words, when he's saying at the time of Kedushin, we say he's believed. Because why should I lie? In other words, my kama. In other words, what is he trying to accomplish when he's saying at the time of the engagement, I just want you to know I don't have brothers, or I do have sons. If it's lemifter miyavim, which one would assume because he wants to exempt her from yavim, and don't worry, you can get married to me. You don't have to be concerned. You got to go through this whole process of imichalitza. But matzi amar patra analoch begita, he could say something very simple. He'll say, don't worry, you will never have to go through yibim because when I'm still alive, before I die, I'll give you a get. And there, so that itself would be a way to exempt her from yibim. So from the fact that he's saying I have brothers, I do have sons, or I don't have brothers, which that itself would exempt from yibim. You don't need that, and therefore we believe him based on mali l'shaka. Well, I shall lie. I shall lie that I really. You think I'm lying when I say I don't have sons or I do have brothers? That I don't have brothers or I do have sons? There's no reason for me to lie because I would be able to exempt you from yibim just by saying I'll divorce you beforehand. So that's the reason why I believe when he got engaged. Now, that belief is what's the machlekes Rebbe and Reb Nosson and the Braisa. Rebbe Sava Mali Lishaka, Rebbe holds that this belief that we believe in when he says, why should I lie at the time when they get engaged, is ki edim dummy. It's as if there were witnesses testified for this fact. It's such a strong belief, which is, of course, he's saying the truth, because what does he need a lie for? Now, if we believe him like two witnesses, va'asi edim akri chazaka, so witnesses come and uproot a chazaka. In other words, the original chazaka that we had assumed before they got married, that, as we explained the case of the Braisa, which was that he has brothers without sons. Now, the fact that he's believed when he gets engaged to say that, no, that's not the case. I do have sons, or I don't have a brother. Now, this woman, actually, the chazakah gets uprooted by what he says, Amali Lashaka, like witnesses, and she actually has a chazakah that she's not zakah for Yibam. Now, because of that, the Rebbe holds it strong like witnesses. When he comes, when he's about to die, to uproot from that chazakah, he's not believed. Because now the chazakah is that she's actually not obligated in Yibam. So therefore, Rebbe holds that he's not Nemel Oistro when he's dying. Which again works like the case of the Mishnah. Now, Reb Nosson holds that no, Mali Lashaka ki chazaka dami. The belief of that we believe someone when he says Mali Lashaka, what should I lie for? It's not like witnesses. It's like a chazaka, like a presumption. Now, Loy Osi chazaka, the chazaka of Mali Lashaka, cannot come the Akr chazaka and come to uproot the first chazaka, which was before he got engaged, Legamri in totality. In other words, to make that this woman would be with a chazakah that she's not zakah for Yibam, to make what he's saying at the time when he's dying to be totally invalid. So that's why Reb Nosson holds that he is going to be believed when he's saying that when he's dying that she really is obligated, because that works well the same as the original chazakah which was before he got engaged. Now, you're right. Says Rashi, Reb Nosson would agree, if at the time that he's dying he wouldn't retract, she would be permitted to others. Because although Reb Nosson holds that a chazakah cannot come and totally uproot a first chazakah, but it does weaken it, and therefore as long as what he said at the first time, his first statement when he got engaged, if he wasn't refuting that, he would be believed. And the reason being is because what's called Ein Onam Chayti B'Loi Loi. A person doesn't sin, as we said on the previous daf, if he's not going to get any personal gain. And therefore if he really had brothers, he really would retract at the time of death, and therefore what he says at the time of Kedushin is believed, and therefore she would be permitted. But Reb Nosson is talking about a case when he does come at the time of his death and he says, no, I really do have brothers. I don't have sons. And therefore, says Abaya, the halacha of our Mishnah could be like Reb Nosson, because everybody agrees to the principle that you're not believed to contradict a prior chazaka. So in the case of our Mishnah, where the chazaka was that there was no sons and no brothers, when he comes to uproot that, and he says that, so which that's a chazaka that there's an exemption from Yibim, and he becomes at the time of death to make her obligated, you're not Nemel Oistro, you can't uproot a chazaka. Reb Nosson agrees to that principle. Now, although in the Brisa it seems like he says that he is Nemel Oistro, that's again because we painted the case of the Brisa where there was original chazaka, which was changed at the time of Kedushin, and then at the time of death he wants to uproot that. That's a question about how strong is that first chazaka that he made of Mali Lashakar at the time of Kedushin. Rebbe holds it's a total chazakah, it's like Edom, and therefore thou since that the chazakah, he's not believed to uproot that. Reb Nosson holds it's not such a strong chazakah, it's equal on par to the original chazakah on some level which was before he got engaged. He's just believed because of Mali Lashaka, which establishes another chazakah. But at the time of death, when he says that she really is obligated, which was a presumption we had before they got engaged, he would be believed, and that's why, because it's not like a total chazakah, that's why Reb Nosson could be like the Tana of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the father's nemanis, his belief regarding that who engaging his daughter. As the Mishnah says, Hamakadish is bitoy stam. If someone engages his daughter stam, without attribution, in other words, if a man comes to this father and says that I want to engage your daughter, and he says my daughter's engaged to you, but he doesn't say which one, says the Mishnah, ina boigris b'chlal. So his daughters that are over 12 and a half, which have the simoni of godless, of becoming an adult, they're not included in this, and they're permitted to any single person, and they don't need a get from this person. The reason being is because they're not in the father's domain to engage him. The father has the rights in his daughters from 12 and a half and younger. If they're over 12 and a half, they're obviously not included in this doubt. Another halacha regarding doubtful kedushin, Mishnah tells us, Mishayeshle shtei kite banis mishtei nashim. If somebody has two groups of daughters from two women. In other words, he married a second woman after the first woman had died. And he said, I engaged my adult, my big daughter, the any day, but I don't know, if it was the oldest of the oldest, meaning of the first group, meaning from the first wife, or was it the oldest of the second group, meaning from the second wife? Or I don't know if it was my youngest from my oldest group, because she's the oldest of the oldest of the younger group. So on some level, she could also be considered the older one because she's older than all the second wife's daughters. Says said the first Tana, Kulan Asuris. They're all the girls are going to be forbidden, which the assumption is, even if there are 100 of them, because each one is called a Gedayla in relation to the one under her, which is she's the Ketana. Now the Gemara is going to ask on this, so then why didn't the Tana say that the doubtful Kedushin to require a get from this man is even on the middle daughters, which she's still an adult, versus the youngest? So says the first Tana that they're all forbidden. Chutz min haketana shebektana, it's the Remeir. Remeir says, except for the youngest of the youngest group, where she's for sure not bigger than anyone, she's for sure not a Gedayla, but everybody else, you're not sure, maybe she's the Gedayla, she's the older daughter, at least in relation, in relativity to the one under her. So they're all aser. Rabbi Yisrael Amri says, no, actually, kulam mutaris. They're all permitted, because a person would not put himself in a situation of doubt to say that it's not clear what did he mean. Chutz min haGedayla shebegedaylas. So they're all permitted, except for the oldest daughter of the oldest group, because when he said Gedayla, he for sure meant the oldest of the oldest, which is clear she's a Gedayla. So too, the same type of machlaikis. Kedashti is biti haketana. If he says, I engaged my minor, my younger daughter, ve'eni yedeim ketana shebektanas, but I don't know, did I mean the youngest of the youngest group, a ketana shebegedaylas, or the youngest of the oldest group, a Gedayla shebektanas, or the oldest of the younger group, Shiketana min haketana shebegedaylas, because she's the youngest of the older group. So on some level, even though she's the oldest of the second group, she's still the smaller one in relation to the older group. Says the first Tana, kul nasuris, they're all forbidden. Chutz min haGedayla shebegedaylas, divrei Meir. As the Meir says, except for the oldest of the older, where she's not smaller than anybody, she's the oldest of all of them, she's for sure not a ketana, she's the only one that's going to be permitted. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no, kula mutaris chutz min haketana shebektana. He says they're all permitted, except for the youngest of the youngest group, where she's for sure a ketana, she's the only one that's going to be forbidden. Now the Gemara first makes an inference where the Tana, the first case of the Mishnah spoke about, that if he engages his daughter, and doesn't say which one it is that he engaged to this man, so all his daughters are going to be in a suffix. They all therefore have to get a get me suffix from this man, except, he says, in a burgers bachlal. But the older daughters are over 12 and a half, they're not going to be included in that doubt, again, because the father has no rights over her, so she's for sure not the one that he had engaged to this man. Now the Gemara says, haketana is bechlal. But the inference is that all the minor daughters, in other words, even if there was more than one, if let's say there were two minor daughters, where they're included in this doubtful kedushin that the father did to this man. Now, therefore, it's what's called in halacha a kedushin she'in mesurin labia. It's a kedushin which can never have led towards cohabitation, because each one of his daughters is a doubtful if she's the wife of this man, but also she could be the sister of the wife of this man, because you don't know which daughter it was. And still you see from the Mishnah that it's a suffic kedushin which would require a get from this man. So says the Gemara, Shamit Minos, so we should hear from the halacha of our Mishnah, the kedushin she'im misurin labia have a kedushin, which is a topic that's debated regarding if a kedushin which cannot lead to bia, is it even considered an halacha kedushin? Seemingly from the halacha of our Mishnah, where you have a bunch of minor daughters that are included in the suffix, even though it can't lead to bia, you still see it's considered kedushin. So now the Gemara says, no halacha meiskin, what we're talking about is, kid she'ein sham ela gedoyla uketana. There's actually only two daughters. One's a begeris, an adult, and one's a minor daughter. Now, since, as we said, the begeris is not included, because he can't engage his adult daughter, so there's no more doubt anymore. There's only one daughter that could have been the one, and that's why he's permitted to marry the ketana, and he'll need a get just for that one daughter, but it would be a kedushin that would be misurin labia. Now, that the Gemara asks, habegeris ketani, but the terminology of the Mishnah says it with that vav there at the end, begeris, which sounds like, in the plural, sounds like that there was a bunch of adult daughters, which the inference is that, so too, regarding the minor daughters, that there were also many of them. So if there were many minor daughters, so that refutes the answer the Gemara is giving. So the Gemara says, no, my baigris, what does it mean that there were many adult daughters? It means baigris di alma, means in general, meaning any single man, it was talking about in the plural of the world, any single man that it's engaging his daughters, his adult daughter is not included. So that's in general to the populace. And therefore, but the minor daughters would be included, but we're talking about that this specific case has only one minor daughter. Now Rashi points out that this, that it says that there's only one adult daughter and one minor daughter, the same answer would apply even if there were many adult daughters, because they're not included. And essentially, the only one would be the one minor daughter that would be appropriate for Kedushin. But the reason why we say that, when we say by grace, it means in general for the population, and there was only one adult daughter, is because we're only making the inference. Because the way the halacha in the Mishnah was said, a mekadesh is bitei stam in a by grace bachlal. Now, the inference of the plural of by grace sounds like, but ketanis are included. So that's the plural. But when we explain the plural of by grace is in general in the world, but this case is only one, so that would mean that in this case also, we're comparing the ketanis to the gedolis. It doesn't mean many minor daughters. It means in general minors. But here there's only one minor daughter. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then pshita, it's pretty obvious. Since you're explaining the case that there's only one adult daughter, one minor daughter, and we know obviously that he cannot engage his adult daughter, and the ketana is the one that's going to get engaged, because baigris maya viditayu, what does the father have with his adult daughter? In other words, if you're going to say that there were many adult daughters and many minor daughters, so you would need to say the halacha of the Mishnah for the inference, to say that, of course we know the adult daughter is not included. Torah gives no rights to the adult daughter, but it would be saying, but the minor daughters, in plural, would be included, which that would be teaching us that even though it's a kedushin, that's not Masur and Labiah, but it would create a kedushin. But now, you don't need it, not for the halacha itself, because we don't need to tell you in a burgis bachal, of course, she's not included. The father has no rights over her. And now the way you explain the Gemara either, we don't need it for the inference either. Because it's not telling us plural of minors, it's only one minor. So of course that's the halacha. So what's the chiddush about Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, we need it for the halacha itself, which it says that in a burgers bechlal. Why? Halacha mayaskinu, what we're told about over here is the shavise shliach. The adult daughter, although the father has no rights over her, but she wants her tati to engage her. She trusts him. She made him her shliach. Now, ma'adatemi, you would have thought to say, ki mekabel kedushe. So therefore, when he's accepting kedushin from this man for one of his daughters, and he doesn't say which one, adaita dido kamekabel, it could be that he was accepting the kedushin for her, for his older daughter, and she would also be included in this safik. And then it would be kedushin she'en mesurin labia, which obviously then we would have that same safik. Kamash mela, that's what the chiddush is, that no. Leshavik inish midi di isle hanomenei. A father, a man, would not leave something that he gets pleasure out of it. In other words, he gets benefit when he engages his minor daughter because the kest of kedushin goes to the father, and he wouldn't leave that and do something that he doesn't get any benefit from because he doesn't get the kest of kedushin when he engages his adult daughter. She gets it. So therefore, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah that the beigris are not bechlal, even though she made him a shliach, but when he's accepting kedushin stam, we're assuming that it's the minor daughter and not the adult daughter, and that's why, even though you would think it would be kedushin she'ein misurin labia, it actually is misurin labia because obviously not the beigris, it's only the one ketana daughter that he has. Now in this answer the Gemara asks, but why? Milo eskinan, aren't we talking about, in other words, can't you also say that the case of the Mishnah is even talking about the amrle kedushayilach, that she tells him that my kedushin money I will not take, it will go to you, tati, and still the Mishnah is saying that the beigris is not bechlal, but why? That's going to be a case, just like his minor daughter, that the benefit will go to him. So again, how do you know that the beigris is not bechlal? Maybe when he's accepting the kedushin, it is for his adult daughter, who you're saying made him into a shliach. So the Gemara says, no, afilahachi, even so, even if you'll say it's talking about a case that he gets the benefit, he gets the kesef kedushin, still leishavik inish mitzvah. If he's accepting for one of his daughters without saying which one, we're going to assume it's the ketana and in a beigris bechlal. Because a person would not leave a mitzvah, which is to marry off his minor daughter, deram yaleh, that's incumbent upon him to marry her off, which is a mitzvah, as it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, v'espeneisechem tenu la'anoshim, your daughters, who obviously you have rights over, which that's why it's mandating it to the father, you should give over to men, which is only when she's a minor. And therefore he wouldn't leave that v'oved mitzvah de l'ram yaleh, that he would then do a mitzvah that's not incumbent upon him, that he's just a shliach ba'alma to do. And therefore, because she has her own das, his adult daughter, she can marry herself off. That's not the responsibility of the father. And therefore, although she made him a tishlich, and she's even offering to give him the money, still, if he's accepting kedushin, it's going to be for what's incumbent upon him, which is his minor daughter. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us the primary chiddush of Eina Beigris Bechlal, again, not the inference that regarding the ketanis, because, of course, there's only one ketana, of course, that's going to be the one daughter that's engaged to that man. Then the second case of the Mishnah was Misha Yeshleish Tekidiban. They spoke about a case when there's two groups of daughters, which we spoke about one case, the Machlekes, when he says, my older daughter, and the Machlekes regarding a case when he says, my younger daughter. Now, says the Gemara B'tzricha, it was necessary for the Machlekes between Remei and Rabbi Yesi to be both by the case when he says, I engaged my older daughter, and regarding the case when he says, I engaged my younger daughter. Because the Iyashmina Kamaisa, had we said their machlag is only regarding the case when he says, I engaged my older daughter, I would say, Bahach Kamer Remeir. It's only there that Remeir says that they're all going to be included in this doubt, because the Kiva the Ikka Zuchimina, because since there's a younger daughter than this daughter, Lahach Gedoyla Kararla. So for such a girl, you'll call her my big girl. Which is, and the reason why you do that is because it's a title, it's some type of a privilege to call a daughter my big girl if there's a younger daughter than her. Av baha, but by the case of when he says my smaller daughter, my younger one, I would say that maybe Remei would agree to Rabbi Yasi. The ketana lahach ketana de kula karala. Who's the one that you call my small one? That's only for the one that's really the smallest of all of them. She's my baby. Because as long as you could call your daughter Gedayla, no one's calling her a Katana. You want to make her feel bigger. So maybe we would think that the Remei would agree that it's only going to be the youngest of the young. That's what we have to say. The Machlek is even by that case that he holds that, and oh, they're all going to be forbidden except the Gedayla should be Gedaylas. So to the other way around, V'yetma Baha, had we said the Machlek is only by the case of Katana, we would say Baha Kam Rabbi Yasi. There is where Rabbi Yasi says that it's only going to be the Katana should be Katanas. Because when you say young, who are you calling young? You only want to call the youngest of the young. Abahach, by the case of Gedayla, Eimim Maidi, Lili Remeir, would say he agrees to Remeir. Big? You want to call every daughter you big, besides the youngest of the young, you can't call her big, and therefore he would agree to Remeir that they will all be included in that Esser. Tzricha, that's what I have to say, they're machlekes in both the cases of Gedayla and Ketana. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on their machlekes, because the way it seems is Lememra, the Remeir Sava Mochas Inish Nafshalisvek, it seems like the Remeir says a person puts himself in a situation of doubt. Because when a guy said, I engaged my older daughter, I don't know which one I meant. Did I mean the biggest of the big or the biggest of the small and so on? Which he said they're all going to be usher. Because yeah, a person would put himself in the situation of doubt. When he says bigger, it could be a little ambiguous. Rabbi Yasi seems like, a person would not put himself in the situation of doubt. And therefore he said that no, if you said you're big one, it must be what's clear, black and white. Who's big is the biggest of the big. That's the only one that's included. Small is the smallest of the small. The gray he holds that a person would himself put himself in that type of situation. But that the Gemara asks for ipcha shamin lehu. But seemingly we learned the exact opposite. That's not like we learned the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim. Hanoider ada Pesach. If someone takes a vow that he says I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to have any pleasure from you ada Pesach up until Pesach. So the halacha is aser ad sheyagia. So he's forbidden to have pleasure from that person until it reaches Pesach. And once the first night of Pesach starts, so he's permitted to have pleasure from that person. Now, let's say he says, Ad sheyehe Pesach, until it will be Pesach, then aser ad sheyetze, then he's forbidden until Pesach leaves. Now, the reason being is, since he said a superfluous terminology, sheyehe Pesach, so it sounds like that he's trying to say that as long as it's still Pesach, I'm going to be forbidden, so until Pesach leaves, he's going to be forbidden to have pleasure from that person. Now, let's say he says, Ad penei Pesach, which literally translates until the face, until before Pesach. So there's where we have a machlekes Remeir and Rabbi Yasi. Remeir, he says, Aser ad sheyegia. He's forbidden up until it reaches Pesach. Once it reaches Pesach, so it's no more penei Pesach, it's no more before Pesach, because it's already within Pesach. Now, as Rashi points out, although every single day of Pesach is really penei, is before the next day, but obviously you see Remeir holds, a person does not put himself in a situation of doubt to go ahead and ask, okay, which penei did I mean to say? Rather, if he says penei, it's black and white, what's before? Before all of them, which that's going to be penei, and therefore it's only usher up until Pesach. Rabbi Yasi, he says, no, you're going to be forbidden up until Pesach leaves. Why? Because every single day is penei to the next day. It's before the next day. And you don't know which penei he meant to say. So even the last day, is going to be the beginning, which is the beginning of the day, is the penei, is before the end of that day. So that's why he says you're totally forbidden up until Pesach leaves. So one thing that we see is that that's exact the opposite of their machloek is in our Mishnah, where you have Rabbi Yasi saying machas nafshel lisveke, and in our Mishnah he said that loy machas nafshel lisveke, and Rabbi Meir is the exact opposite too. So Amr Reb Chanina Bar Avdimi, Amr Rabbi says, Mukhlefes Hashita. You have to say that the way their opinions were attributed in Mesechtes Nedarim has to be flipped to the way it's said over here in our Mishnah. Because actually, Vatanya, we actually learned in the Braisa like that, that it's the exact opposite, meaning even that halacha of Nedarim, which would then work well with the halacha over here in our Mishnah. Because the Braisa says, Zeha Klal. This is the general rule. Kol Shezmane Kavua, whatever has a set time. In other words, how long it lasts for, like Pesach and Yom Tov, you know how long it lasts for. which, as Rashi points out, is coming to exclude a case of, let's say, you talk about the reaping season, where if, let's say, you say ad penei, or even ad sheyehei, which generally means to say up until it finishes that season, when it's something that's not, it's not clear how long it lasts for, it's only going to be forbidden up until it reaches. The reason being is because since it doesn't have a set amount, because some people are quicker in the reaping season and some people delay, so therefore the person's intention would only be for the beginning, which is when they begin the reaping. That would be if it would not have a set time. But this Bryce is talking about if it has a set time, like a Yom Tov, like Pesach, the Amar ad Penei, and he says, until the phase, until before, Remeir Aime Ache Yeitze. So this is very well. This works like our Mishnah, and this is the way we said it has to be switched to. He says that you are Machas Nafshalas Fake, and therefore it's Asr until it leaves. Rebisi Aimer Ache Gi. He says up until it reaches. So again, so you see, even in that price regarding the halach itself of Mesachat Nadarm, that it has to be flipped, and therefore it has to be like our Mishnah, where Rebisi is not, he says a person would not put himself in a situation of doubt, and Remeir holds that you would. Now, Amar Abaye qualifies this case of the Mishnah that Remeir and Rebisi are disagreeing about. He says, Machlekes b'shtei kitei banis. He says, the whole Machlekes of our Mishnah is only, as the case of our Mishnah is talking about, when there's two groups of daughters. It's there that you could say that the whole entire first group, a person would call Gedaila, although, what do you mean, every one of your daughters from this wife is Gedaila? Yeah, they're big ones, because in contrast to the second wife. Now, moreover, the second group, a person would call all of them Ketana in relation to the first group of wives. It says Abaya of Bakat Achas, but by when he only has one group of daughters, meaning that he only had one wife that they were born from, Divri Hakol, there he says everyone would agree, Gedoyla Mamish, when you say my big girl, it means literally the oldest. Ketana Mamish, when he says the small one, he means literally the youngest. Emtsoyis Bishma Karala, regarding the middle daughters, if he has seven daughters, they would all be called by their name. He wouldn't call her the big daughter or the small daughter, because when there's just one group of daughters, there he says everyone would agree, even Remeir, that Gedoyla is only the oldest and smaller is the smallest. And the middle ones would be called by their names. It's only when there's two groups of daughters, then you could say even the middle daughters or even the youngest one is called Gedoyla in relation to the other group of daughters. Now, this halach of Abaya, Amalei Rav Adar bar Masna Abaye, he asks, El Me'ata, but if that's the case, as we continue on top of Samachim at Aleph, Emtsoyi Shebekat Shnia Tishtari, then the middle daughters of the second group should be permitted. Which, as Rashi explains, his question is on the case of the Reisha. When he says, I engaged my older daughter, where the doubt was regarding the entire second group, if they're going to be Aser because they're the Gedoyla, where Remeir says they're all going to be Aser except for the Ketana Shebektanas, except for the youngest of the young, which sounded like, but the middle of the group, the middle daughters, are going to be called Gedoyla. Now, how are they called Gedoyla if not in relation to only the youngest daughter from that same wife? So obviously that even in one group of daughters from the same wife, we could call the middle daughters Gedoyla in relation to the youngest one, but according to you, they should be permitted. They're not going to be called Gedoyla in the same group of daughters. It's only the oldest of the second group that could be called a Gedoyla. So why, according to Remeir, are they all Aser except for the youngest of the young? So that the Gemara answers, Nahachem Ha'iskina, what's that case talking about? B'she'ein Sham, that there isn't in that second group of daughters any middle daughter. There's Ela Gedoyla Uketana. There's only an older daughter and a younger daughter. That's why the Mishnah says that the second group is all, they're all going to be Aser, except for the youngest of the young, because, yeah, they're all Aser, the whole first group. And the second group has only two daughters. The oldest is Gedoyla, and the youngest is the youngest of the young. But yes, Abaye is answering, if there was middle daughters, then the Mishnah would have said, Chutz min haketane shepektanes, except for the youngest of the young, it would have said it in the plural. It wouldn't have said, as it says in that Mishnah, Chutz min haketanes shepektanes. It says only in the singular, except for the youngest one of the youngest. And the reason being is because you're right, there are no many younger ones. So therefore, you're right. If there were middle ones, it would have said Ketanoi Shebektanes. But the reason why is because there's only one younger, and that's why it's saying that Chutz min haketanes shebektanes. Now, that the Gemara says, actually, B'hachinami Mestaber, it's actually logical the way the Gemara is answering for Abaya, that there is no middle daughters in the second group of daughters. Then Isa de'ika, because if you would entertain to say that there were middle daughters, and actually, as the Gemara was asking in Abaya, that it would be saying that they're all forbidden, then Lasanye. then it should have been said regarding when the father says, I don't know, it should have said, I don't know when I was engaged my older daughter. Did I engage my oldest of the oldest? Was it the oldest of the youngest? Or was it even the middle daughters of the youngest group? They're all going to be Aser. For the fact that it didn't say that is to say that it's even the middle daughters are going to be Aser. Obviously, you can infer that because actually the Tanavah Mishnah holds that, Meir holds that they're not going to be Aser. Because when he says Kulan Asuras, is when there are no middle daughters. Because if there were middle daughters, Abaye says they would not be Aser. Because in one group of daughters, you don't call the middle ones Gedoyla at all. Now, that the Gemara, however, asks, Ulatameich, according to your reasoning that you're saying, you're mestaber, that it's even logical the way you're answering for Abaye, because if you would entertain to say that the middle ones of the second group are going to be us, then the Tana should have specified it. And that the Gemara asks, well, I'm tzoyish shebekat rishayinu, the middle daughters of the first group, devadei sveika va'asirilei, that for sure they're in doubt regarding if they're called gedoyla and that they would be forbidden if there are middle daughters in the first group, because you agree that the whole entire first group in relation to the second group are called gedoyla and therefore they'd be forbidden, and still mikatanila, does it say it? In other words, it should have said in the Reisha also that there are middle daughters of the first group to say that they're forbidden. And not to entertain to say that, oh, maybe they're going to be permitted, and to say that, oh, when they're all forbidden is only when there's no middle daughters. And obviously that's not the case. We know for sure they are forbidden. So how can you say Hochanam Mestabra by the second one? Oh, it doesn't say it must mean that they're permitted. It's not true. Because you see from the first group it doesn't say it and they're forbidden. So maybe the second group it doesn't say that and they're forbidden too. Tushi Gemara says, no, Hochi Hashta, can you entertain? There, by the case of the middle daughters of the first group, he didn't have to specify it. Because even though, if regarding the case of the Mishnah, that if let's say that there would only be two in each group, we still wouldn't entertain to say that had there been middle daughters in the first group, that we wouldn't have to say Kulan Asuras. Because Hasam Tana Ketana Di Deli Surah, there regarding the daughters of the first group, the Tana says that even the younger one under her, I mean the youngest of the first group, we still say in the Mishnah that she's called a Gedoyla in relation to the second group. So for sure, Kalshakin regarding this one, the middle daughters of the first group, the Kshishimina, which is even older than the youngest of the first group, for sure is going to be Aser, and because maybe she's the Gedoyla, which the father had meant. But however, Hacha over here, regarding the second group, if you're not going to say regarding the Isra of the middle ones, then you might come to say in regarding to Halacha the Mishnah that there is only an adult and a minor, but regarding the middle ones, we would not call her a Gedoyla. Because in Isa the Ikka, because if it's true that there were middle ones, and that's what you're trying to say, the one who was asking the question Abaye, that is regarding all of them that the Tana said they're forbidden, well then the Sanye, then it should have said explicitly and told us that even there she's going to be forbidden, that you shouldn't make a mistake to say that it's talking about that there's no middle ones. So rather, actually, from the fact that it doesn't say it, that's what the Gemara was saying, Hachinam Mistabrit is logical, like the Gemara was answering for Abaye, that there are no middle ones there in the second group, and that's why it's only the Ketanis Shebektanis. But if there were middle ones, it actually that not only the youngest of the young, but even the middle of the young would also be permitted, because again, you don't call Gedoyla regarding one group of daughters that they're called Gedoyla. Only the oldest of that group is called Gedoyla. It's only from one group to another that even the youngest can be called Gedoyla. Now, if the Gemara asked one last question on Abaye, Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rishu LeRava says, "But how Pesach? Consider the case of Pesach. Which that could be comparable to one group. In other words, it's one unit of 7 days. Where upligi, and still we have a machlekes because there is an opinion where it says that even the middle days is called penei in relation to the last day, since it's a day later than that. Now you just said Abaye, and that's what he's asking to Rava, that when it's one unit." So then you don't call Gedoyla in middle ones relation to the later ones. So then isn't that the same thing by Pnei? When you say before Pesach, you say before, which is like Gedoyla, it's only you could say from one unit to another one that even later ones are considered Pnei. But in one unit, you only say the oldest. You give black and white. You say Gedoyla is the oldest, not the middle one, oldest to the youngest one. So why is Pnei any different? When you say before, when it's one unit of Pesach, it should mean before the whole Pesach. And yet still we see that there is an opinion that says Pnei is even every day within. That seemingly refutes Abaye's interpretation that says everyone would agree when it's one unit that Gedoyla is clearly the one that's the oldest, and therefore Pnei should be the same thing. So Amalei, so Rav responded to the question. He says, no. Hasam, there by the halacha of Pesach, is nothing to do with this halacha of regarding doubt. When you say before, what does before mean? Does before mean regarding the whole thing, or is every day before the other one? No. Regarding that, the halacha is like Abaye, when it's one unit, let's say if it meant before, it would mean before everything. But there is Balishna de Alma Kemefuge. Their machlek is actually regarding the terminology of the word pene, what does it mean? So it's a different discussion. Mar Savar, one opinion holds, at pene ha-pesach, when he says, I'm going to take a neder forbidding myself to have benefit from you until pene ha-pesach, it's ad kamei pischa. It means pene, like we've been translating until now, which means like the word lifnei, up until before Pesach. So yes, before doesn't mean every day before. There, as Abaye said, it means before the whole thing starts. So that's why that opinion holds it's before Pesach. But Marsa, but the other opinion that says it's aser, is not because he holds whenever you have anything later than that, even in one unit, you could call it pene. It's rather because he understands when the human beings use the terminology of pene, it means ademifane pischa. It means up until Pesach will clear itself, meaning up until it clears and passes by, that's when he says, I'm going to make myself forbidden to you. Now, regarding the jar, you go based on Lashon b'nei adam, and since he holds that when the person says pene, it means of Lashon of Mifane, which is not Lifne, rather to clear, that's why he holds up until Pesach passes by. And therefore, it doesn't contradict Abaye. You can still say that Abaye's halacha is regarding when it's one unit, and you say a clear terminology, which means something before, it would mean before the whole thing, Gedoyla or Pene, which if you say Lifne, which is Kami Pischa, that's before. But again, that machlik is regarding just what does the word mean? Does the word mean before, or does it mean until it passes? And therefore, that's the machlik is if it's before Pesach or up until Pesach passes.